I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here for 2 hours every weekday, 9 to 11 o'clock. This is a safe space for independent thinkers out there. Very few of them actually exist, so I'm happy to have a platform here for no party worship, no politician worship, just kind of an objective observer side of the news. Today's Friday, so we'll do our regular segments next hour and False Flag Friday. We are being, boy, it feels like we're being slow marched towards a war with China. And there's some other things going on around the globe while we are pretty self-obsessed right now with COVID and with our woke cancel culture coming after everybody to stir things up. There's actually a lot of things going on around the globe, so we will talk about those next hour, and then we will finish up with a segment that is increasingly easy to do, which is a look back at the lunacy of the last week. It got kind of difficult today to try to figure out which headlines to put into the main body of the first hour or what to put into that segment, because it just appears to me that the country's gone insane. It's kind of funny, before COVID even struck, you know, over the last couple of years, it really felt like a lot of this was the woke mob. It was the agitation of people. It really felt like we were headed towards a mass mental breakdown for the past several years, and COVID has not helped. That has not been a positive development when it comes to the mental health of the American people as a whole. Hopefully you are outside of that. You got to get outside your bubbles. If you stay inside your bubbles, your red or your blue bubbles, you are surely going to live an agitated life. And I was talking to somebody yesterday. A friend of mine had gone out to play tennis yesterday morning. It's just, bro, there's just no good time. You can't go out at 4 o'clock in the morning and play tennis right now and probably feel comfortable. But it has been so hot, and it kind of struck me. They spoke a little bit this morning on the news about this heat wave. There's a pretty big heat wave, and we're certainly experiencing it here. Of course, it is July in Mississippi. We can't expect much better. But temperatures, you know, heat indexes around here are 105, and some other areas of the country are experiencing some very, very hot weather right now. I just thought, what a shame. Those poor climate change people. You know, these are the times in years past where they really shined. You know, this is when they would get their time on the media, and they would hawk their books, and they would get to do all the interviews. They'd publish their op-eds all over the mainstream media talking about, look at this, look at the heat, look what's happening to our world. We're heating up when we're all about to die, and nobody wants to hear from them anymore. Which is actually kind of humorous, because if you listen to some of them, we've only got, 9 to 12 years to live in the first place? I don't really know what all the hysteria around COVID is. Really, if you think about it, if the world's going to be ending in the next 9 or 10 years, what difference does any of it make? We shouldn't be talking about police or education or really anything. I mean, our single focus should be on just enjoying the last 10 years of our lives, if they're right. But it is just it's a real shame for the climate change people. They have been sidelined. The CNN has tried to get Greta Thunberg involved in some of their social commentary on race relations in the United States. I'm not sure what a Swedish 16-year-old brings to the table when it comes to American race relations, but they've tried to involve her, but the poor girl has really just been sidelined. Poor climate change people. This is a heat wave made just for them, and unfortunately, they're nowhere to be seen. I've got my new kind of segment. I guess you consider it a segment. as we see endless testing. I think yesterday we had 77,000 people test positive, and all the headlines are about the hospitalizations and not so much about the deaths because they're going down, so we don't want to talk about that. But so I've got my other numbers here because now suddenly we're so worried about making sure that people live and don't end up in a hospital. So I've got a couple other ways we can help that. I feel like I'm adding to the conversation. I feel like I'm being helpful, like I'm being constructive. If our singular focus is on enacting broad-based, sweeping, overarching policies to save people's health, to save our hospitals from being overwhelmed, then I think these numbers are certainly appropriate and we should take immediate action. So far, reported COVID deaths, or last number I saw, was 138,360. Total medical mistakes so far this year far outweigh that at 196,214. Seems like maybe we need to get on top of that, but I don't hear it discussed. Deaths from properly prescribed and properly taken pharmaceuticals as of today in 2020, 68,655. That is properly prescribed and properly taken pharmaceuticals. Seems like maybe we should take a look at that. That's a lot of people, but it's under the COVID bar, so maybe it doesn't matter. New diabetes cases. This is a good one. We get 4,109 new cases of diabetes diagnosed every single day. So far this year in 2020, we've got 817,691. Hospitalizations. If we're looking to not swamp the hospitals, we want to keep those beds open. Seems like maybe we should be paying a little bit of attention to this. Hospitalizations due to diabetes so far this year in 2020, 4,252,630. Whew, that's a lot of hospital beds, isn't it? And the new deaths so far this year from diabetes, 742 a day for a grand total this year of 147,658. More deaths from diabetes this year than others. And the reason I bring this up, because most of this diabetes statistics are type 2 diabetes, this is a preventable disease. So what strikes me is that if grocery stores are going to require masks when you walk into a grocery store, you know, in order to save lives and prevent our hospitals from being overwhelmed, shouldn't they also clear out the soft drink shelves? I mean, I've just given you the numbers of hospitalizations, new cases, and deaths from diabetes. If the goal of these grocery stores is to prevent death and illness, hospitalizations, then it seems like they need to immediately get rid of anything that contains high fructose corn syrup. They also need to pull from their shelves. I made a little list here. As I say, I'm trying to be constructive and helpful. I'm trying to save lives. Grocery stores should immediately remove white rice, white bread, breakfast cereals, ice cream, and the candy aisle has got to go. I mean, if we need to protect people from themselves. Our new goal in society is zero risk. We're going to keep doing big, huge policy changes to make sure there is no risk of death or disease in this country. And I think the diabetes statistics just really, really jump out at me. And I do cover those because we're in Mississippi. We actually have the highest incidence. This context of what I'm talking about is more appropriate in central Mississippi than anywhere else. So anyway, doing my part to save lives and keep hospital beds open. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
The absolutely most annoying thing to me about COVID right now and all of the narratives swirling around it, well, there's a lot to be aggravated with. The numbers, I'm going to get into some of that stuff. The numbers, the supposed science, they keep telling us to bend at the knee to the science, even though the science is wrong many, many times. I'll show you examples of that in just a second. But the worst thing is the way people are turning on each other during this. I've kind of railed about this since I came on air. And it's the idea that, you know, Republicans versus Democrats, conservatives versus liberals, they try to pit the races against each other, where there's Hispanics versus whites, or blacks versus Hispanics, or whites versus blacks. I mean, just all of this stuff, and nobody, I'm just sitting here endlessly pointing up and saying, look what they're doing up top. Quit your anger. But the COVID is no different. There's a headline out today: Californians turn against each other amid second coronavirus shutdown. And this is surrounding the mask stuff. I'm not mad at anybody for wearing a mask. And if you are wearing a mask, then you shouldn't be mad at somebody that decides not to wear a mask. Oh, yes, they're trying to kill us all. I will say this to the non-mask wearers like myself. If you're going into a business and they require a mask, you need to put a mask on. That's a private business. Again, you can have all the problems you want with our health authorities and these little despots that are springing up all over the country that are mandating masks for everybody, like we're a bunch of children and can't operate, function in society without their rules. But if you go into a private business and they require that, then you have to respect. You don't get to throw a scene. Now, I know you may want to do a viral video. You may want to take to Facebook and tell your friends how poorly you were treated somewhere. But look, the greeter at Walmart's making, what, $8 an hour? They just want to do their shift and go home. It's not their policy. They didn't come up with it. They don't want to enforce it. There's probably nobody on planet Earth that wants the face mask stuff done away with more than a Walmart greeter or a hostess at a restaurant or anybody else who's having to enforce this ridiculousness. Quit turning on your fellow human beings, all of you. Left, right, you wokesters who are trying to get average people fired. Your life's not going great, so you think stirring up a bunch of stuff and getting people canceled and fired is going to make your life better? It is not. The same people have been abusing you. The reason you're in, they got the lot in life where you're so dissatisfied with your life is you should be looking up at the people that have been in control, but instead, that apparently was an emergency alert. The local authorities saw a group of people standing close to one another laughing and having fun. And they immediately needed to put out an alert. Let everybody know. The sound of laughter. The sound of group laughter. I had to send out an alert on it. Anyway, it's very sad to me to see everybody at each other's throats. You know, people who wear a mask, it wasn't their decision. They're not the ones that forced mandates. They're not the ones that are sitting at the podiums across the country, or Anthony Fauci, who's worked everybody into such a hysteria about this thing. And I'm going to get into the mask stuff in just a second, just because when I run across a clip, I'm going to play it. Mario Cuomo, and it's Mario. I still want to say that every time. Andrew Cuomo, you know, you got to get the Cuomos right. They built this little dynasty in New York, this little Democrat dynasty that they've got. So you got to pick out which one. Is it Chris Cuomo on CNN? Is it Mario Cuomo, the governor? Is it Andrew Cuomo, the governor? People love their dynasties. Just people of New York just want to be ruled by one family. They just think they're just so great. But same thing happened with the Bushes. Same thing's happening with the Trumps. Everybody wants their dynasty. They pick their guy and then say that the other 330 million of us are all worthless. We need this family. They're the ones that are craziness. But anyway, New York's Mario, did it again. Andrew Cuomo announces new restrictions on bars and restaurants after compliance issues. Bars and restaurants in New York City that received 3 strikes for failing to enforce social distancing will be forced to close, Governor Andrew Cuomo said on Thursday. This is nuts. I won't go through this entire story, but this is just another one of these little despots and tyrants. And, you know, think about this, too. When you go into a private business, I'm so sick of seeing these videos where everybody throws a big fit that somebody tries to force them to wear a mask. Now, I do have a clip between two citizens that is just absolutely asinine, but the idea of these restaurants are struggling for their lives. They know that there's watchers out there, particularly in New York City. You understand that some of these cities are actually sending out plainclothes enforcement teams. So if you were to walk into a restaurant in some of these towns, I don't know if we're doing it in Jackson, if in any other parts of Mississippi you're doing this, but they've got plainclothes enforcement officers just sit and wait. They wait to see if a business allows somebody in without a mask, and then they pounce. They give them a $1,000 fine. So sometimes when you walk into a business and they get a little testy with you, tell you you got to put a mask on, understand. They've already been beaten down by the shutdowns. Economically, they're already on the ropes. The last thing they need is somebody coming in and giving them a $1,000 fine. And in the case of this New York thing, if it happens three times, they get shut down again. Just don't, you know, for a while there, I was going outside of Jackson to go to the grocery store. Now the mask mandate has overwhelmed me and I have to wear a mask when I go into a grocery store. I just accept that fact. Pain in the butt, I take it off the minute I get out of the store. I put it on the minute I go in the store. Because everybody else has lost their mind. What I do want to do is I'd like to get some masks done, and so, surely somebody's already done this, where just across the mask it says fear, or it says obey. I also like the idea of a mask with the Guy Fawkes face on it. If you've seen V for Vendetta, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I did want to play this clip when it comes to getting back to school. I think this is informative as the teachers. I hear them on local news here debating and talking about their fear of getting back to school. If the students actually figure into this at all, and I'm not really sure if they do. Here's the idea, the thinking, as near as I can tell when it comes to education, it's this. Well, yes, there's not a lot of children dying, and they don't seem to get really sick, but here's the deal. If the children go into the school and they get it, they bring it home, and they give it to their parents, who give it to Uncle Fred, who then infects Grandma Sally. So a child going to school, it's this, what is it called, the butterfly effect? This child going to school actually ends up killing his grandmother. Is that really what you want? That's the way this is being couched. Again, we think that we can set up enough rules to reduce all risk across all areas. And this is why I say I don't think we should be allowed to drive in the rain anymore. I just don't think we can be trusted with it. Immediately park in place whenever the weather, whenever the roads get wet. Anyway, just for you teachers out there, here's just some pediatricians. You know, kid doctors. Explaining what they would do when faced with the idea of their kids going back to school. Again, these are pediatricians, kid doctors. I ask if they would send their kids back to school.
Would you let your kids go back to school?
I will. My kids are looking forward to it.
Yes. Period. Absolutely.
Absolutely. As much as I can.
Without a hesitation.
Without a hesitation, yes.
I have no concerns about sending my child to school in the fall.
I would let my kids go back to school.
Dr. John Torres, NBC News.
Now, that last part is the most shocking of it all. That is NBC News. I'm surprised they didn't scrap the whole segment. NBC News, one of the worst networks. It's a daily horse race on which is the worst network for news on television, but NBC usually is certainly in the lead of the pack. Anyway, that's a bunch of pediatricians saying absolutely they'd send their kids back to school. And if that's the case, then what are we talking about here? They said without hesitation they would send their kids back to school. So the big deal is what? I'm not sure what we're talking about here. For teachers out there, I will say this too. We love you. We thank you for your work. A lot of people appreciate teachers more than ever over the last semester because people had to, you know, teach their kids and, let's be honest, deal with the kids every day for about 3 months when you usually were kind of in charge. So we love you. So let me give you this little piece of love. If you're concerned about going back into the classroom, why don't you take a look at your diet? You're teachers. You're educators. You are learned people. Seeking information, right? Take a look. Go online. Do things like ways to boost my immune system. How about that for just a... I mean, I know it's not ever mentioned on any stories ever, but you're teachers. You like to learn new things. So if you're that concerned about this thing, go look at ways to boost your immune system. Seems to be a pretty logical step as far as I'm concerned. I guess I'll get into these clips real quick. I've got like... Clip-a-palooza today. I've got a ton of clips to play. There's a lot of consternation. I'm sure you've seen, if you pay attention to what's going on, that the White House has started taking in the CDC numbers. Hospitals are supposed to report to... I'm not sure if it's actually the White House, of a department in there, or somebody, some other bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., but of course people are really suspect of this. I got to tell you, I mean, optically, it does seem a little...
It's something to hang your hat on when you realize that the statistics that are being breathlessly reported are not going in favor of controlled pandemic for the general public who's not really doesn't care about the truth about the thing. You know what I mean? The headline numbers don't look great. So for the CDC to be cut out of it makes some people suspicious. I can understand that, but I'm going to try to assuage your fears in just a second. But this was a story about this information now going to Washington instead of just to the CDC in Atlanta.
Hey, Dr. Gottlieb, I read several stories yesterday about how Health and Human Services is going to be taking over the state's reporting of what's happening with coronavirus cases. It won't be going through the CDC anymore. It will be going through Washington. Many of those stories raise the question about whether that would politicize the data, whether you could trust it at that point. I just wonder what you know about this and if you will trust the data that Health and Human Services is putting together at this point.
Yeah. Because the CDC certainly and local health authorities certainly haven't politicized it so far. Give me a break.
Point.
Well, the data is still going to be shared with CDC. I mean, there's been some frustration about the CDC systems being somewhat old and not being able to collect the data in a very efficient way. And not
again, I'm going to point out to you that the CDC gets $10 billion a year, year in, year out, year in, year out. And they are going to get more. The CDC, what is just a colossal, colossal failure, will end up having a budget increase next year in light of COVID. You see, that's how government works. In private industry, for you and me, if your department does not deliver, usually you're fired or your department's downsized or eliminated across the board because a company looks at it and says, well, this isn't working. We can't keep going like this. If you're in the government, the worse you do, the more money you get. It's basically an incentive to do poorly, and the CDC has certainly lived up to that.
Being able to report the data in an efficient way, I think the preferable path here would have been to try to build out the systems inside CDC and not try to recreate the wheel. I think there's a temptation when you're in government, if something's not working well, you just try to rebuild it somewhere else, as opposed to trying to fix the system that exists. That's in place at the moment. And I think they would have been better served probably investing in what CDC is doing and the CDC systems, because CDC is a better repository for information. They have the scientific expertise to cull this data in a way that no other agency does.
Okay, so they have the scientific expertise, according to Scott Gottlieb. I wanted to remind people of something. I ran across this clip. This is one of the last investigative reporters actually out there. This clip is for an old one. It's from, I think, 2009. When was the swine flu? I think it was 09. Was that when it was? Let's see what the track record of the CDC when it came to swine flu is. This is an old clip. Again, this is Cheryl Atkinson. She used to be with CBS, but CBS decided to, you know, get rid of all their actual investigative reporters and just go to the hacks that they have now. So she's doing her own thing. You can find her reports on, I think it's called The Full Measure. I know she does YouTube. She may have other outlets, too. Anyway, this is her report on 2009. Again, this is on the heels of Scott Gottlieb saying the CDC, you know, that's really where the information should be. They do just such a great job. They have the scientific expertise.
If you've been diagnosed with probable or presumed 2009 H1N1 or swine flu in recent months, you may be surprised to know this. The odds are you didn't have H1N1 flu. In fact, you probably didn't have flu at all.
What?
That's according to state-by-state test results obtained in our three-month-long CBS News investigation. In short, only a small fraction of cases that doctors flagged as most likely to be swine flu actually tested positive for swine flu at state labs. The vast majority of the cases were negative.
There you go again. So this is nothing new. This is nothing new. And it actually gets worse than that. Here was the report on Florida. You know, Florida, the big hotspot now. Florida, oh, it's on fire with COVID. They just can't believe the number of cases that are coming out of the Sunshine State. People were furious that Walt Disney World had opened up. How could you do that? In the throes of this pandemic, it's burning through Florida at a record pace.
The Florida Department of Health releasing its daily coronavirus testing report, showing a statewide positivity rate of 11%. But Fox 35 quickly noticing some shocking positivity rates.
What?
Countless labs reporting 100% positivity. That means every single person tested was positive. We sifted through the reports to find local testing sites with high numbers. Like this Centricare, 83 people tested and all positive. Check out the Orlando VA, a positivity rate of 76%. NCF Diagnostics has a location in Alachua, 88% of tests coming back positive, and 98% for Orlando Health. How could that be? We investigated these astronomical numbers, contacting every location mentioned. Orlando Health, the only to respond, confirming errors in the report.
Oops.
Its positivity rate is, in fact, only 9.4%. Now, we just heard back from the Orlando VA. They are looking into the numbers. We haven't heard back from the other two labs or the Florida Health Department of Health, of course. It makes you wonder if these numbers are wrong. Are other numbers on the report also wrong? We'll stay on top of this story.
Gee, you think? I mean, it's just... I wish I could carry these clips around in my pocket when I had discussions with people, because I think this is the kind of thing that will wake people up. If they listen to these, if they listen to the person in Illinois, the health authority in Illinois say, listen, here's how we report COVID deaths. If you come in with a massive heart attack and you die from that heart attack, but you test positive for COVID, we make you a COVID death. I mean, this is from the health authorities in Illinois. Ditto, same kinds of reports from Texas, from Colorado. Now you've got the testing numbers going up. You know, they're not talking about the deaths because the deaths are going through the floor. So they just want to talk about the positive cases and this huge outbreak, second wave, everybody's going to die. Yet story after story after story after story after story says these numbers are wrong. I read the story the other day, Texas. I don't know if it's a statewide policy, but it was definitely, I believe, in Houston or San Antonio, to quote me on that. But I think this was a policy that they're doing probable cases. When you see the outbreak in Texas. The huge numbers in Texas. It's a hot spot. Everybody go home. We're all going to die if you live in Texas. If you live in Texas, you can't go to New York City anymore. They won't even let you in. Although Texas admits that when they have one person test positive, they do a census of that person's activity. They find out everywhere they've been, and they will end up counting all of the people who have not even been tested as probable cases, which means they show up in the case count. In one case, in the example that this doctor gave, she said, we tested one person. We determined that that one person had probably infected 16 others, so we turned in the number 17 cases based on one positive test. And for those of you who think that maybe I'm the problem or people like me who are trying to call attention to the truth, that the thing is we don't have any facts around this except for, I think, what's become painfully aware or positively aware. For everybody to recognize, you have about a 99.8% chance or 99.7% chance of surviving this thing. And that's not even really looking at the death count now. That's including the big hump of deaths in New York and everything. But still, we're at about 99.8 or 99.7% survival rate. If that's not enough to say, hey, can we stop with the hysteria a little bit? These stories should be enough if you're really concerned, if you think that people who are... See, I'm not a hoaxer. I'm not screaming that this is a hoax. I don't want this disease. But the lengths we're going to are absolutely insane. When I come back, I've got a doctor about masks. I don't know what else to do in this scenario except just play alternative information to what the mainstream media is putting out. And then I just believe everybody can make their own informed decision. But I'm not a bureaucrat or a politician who wants to boss you around. I just want to inform you. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. As I sit here and every time I get into this COVID topic, I almost feel like maybe I should just stop talking about it. It's just so hard to. When I run across these clips, and I'm about to play you one about masks from a doctor, it's really hard to do because this is a bit of a nuanced issue. My overarching thing is Americans are not supposed to live in fear. You can't have people in fear and a free society. You can't have a government mandating a ton of stuff and a free society. You can't have both. Now, this mask issue that I'm about to address here with this clip from this doctor, and what we're seeing with mask mandates and people getting into arguments and people turning on each other over these masks, that has ended up being a lot along partisan lines outside of those people who should probably wear a mask and make them feel better. If they're immunocompromised or they're caring for somebody who is, then knock yourselves out. They've come out with some big new robot-looking thing you can put over your head if you want to. But I do want to caution conservatives or use this as a teachable moment to something, because this is what I saw happen to conservatives around terrorism. Do you have any idea the rights and all of the rules and regulations that you put up with because you believe that everybody is a potential terrorist? The Patriot Act? Yeah, that's right. Republican Congress, Republican president gave you the Patriot Act and you swallowed it with a spoon. Spying on American citizens, just like the Soviet Union. You thought that was okay. See, you don't like the masks now because you think that's a bit of an overreach and this is really hysterical. But you let them scare you so bad about terrorism that you gave up a ton of rights. Your grandmother gets molested at the airport. Nobody says anything because, you know, terrorism. You see how this works? So I do believe the left is definitely driving a lot of this hysteria around COVID. But the overarching thing is fear is not a way to make policy. And you can't have policy, fear-based policy, and have freedom at the same time. We've got to make a decision. You can inform the hell out of your citizens. Then you just got to let them go about their business. And people may die. What they just said, Florida had the most deaths, I think, at 176. Is this the same Florida where in some states like New York and New Jersey, by law, you have to retire there? When you hit about 75, you have to leave New York? I mean, how many retirees are in Florida? What a shocker that they have more deaths than anybody else. I would imagine that on a daily basis, Florida has more deaths than anybody else. They're like one of the retirement meccas of the world. A lot of elderly people live in Florida. Just thought maybe that's worth pointing out. So judge the left on this mask reaction and COVID reaction and call them out for the being hysterical as they are. But just remember that you have also fallen for the same kind of hysteria. It was just called terrorism when you decided to give up your rights and allow a bunch of bureaucrats and politicians to strip you of your rights back then. And it's still going on until today. Is that tough love? Too harsh? Here's a doctor on the mask stuff.
The Florida Department of Health releasing its daily...
Nope, we've already done that. This is Dr. Scott Jensen.
When we talk about masks, we have to talk about microns. And typically, if you look at an N95 mask, what that does is it filters out 95% of particulate matter larger than 0.3 microns. Well, the question then is, how big is a COVID particle? And a COVID particle is about 0.1 micron. So we know that even an N95 mask has tremendous limitations. Yeah. Yes, it does help some because COVID particles will, if you will, coalesce and coagulate almost as they come into the magnetized or electrified field of the N95 mask. But the bottom line is a surgical mask or a cloth mask are really designed only for particulate matter greater than 5 microns. Typical bacteria are 1 to 20 microns. So when we wear surgical masks in surgery, we're simply trying to make sure that if we sneeze, cough, or something, we're not spraying a lot of bacteria into the place we're doing surgery. But this idea of people thinking that they're doing something particularly useful with a cotton mask or a handkerchief or a homemade mask or a surgical mask is just Looney Tunes.
So there you go. There you go again. It may be the false confidence of masks that's been spreading this thing this whole time. Another thing I didn't know about the N95 mask, this is kind of has been presented, at least the impression I've gotten, that this was somehow the gold standard. If you have an N95 mask, you can just, you can go through a ward of people or what, you're invincible. If I'm understanding it right now, as I understand it, that the N95 mask had the vent on the side, where actually you were able to just spray out unfiltered. So if the idea is that we're trying to protect one another, and I'm aware of that, I don't want to hurt anybody. But I do look at the science that says, and I played the clip yesterday from the WHO themselves that said asymptomatic people infecting anybody else is extremely rare. I played the clip yesterday. But if your goal is to protect other people, if you're walking around with an N95 mask, that's a very selfish mask to have on. I got to tell you, you're being selfish. You're trying to protect yourself, but you've got this unfiltered vent that's just spewing out whatever you've got inside you. So anyway, just more kind of counter stuff to the mask. When I come back, this is going to kind of lead us this next clip. Russia's at it again. Oh, Russia, Russia, Russia. This has never gone away. I don't know who wins in this. I don't know if conservatives get us to, if conservatives get us to war with China or the left gets us to war with Russia faster. I'm not sure who's going to win. It may end up being a tie. We may end up in a war with both of these people. But there's a clip about the Russians that now they're trying to steal our vaccine. Oh, those Ruskies. It's just very interesting. At the very end of it is the part that really kind of stuck out to me. I'll play that when I come back. Stay tuned.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
Those Russians are at it again. Did you hear? Oh, those Russian hackers. I do want to bring up, just if I can, just to not really talked about, it's one of these little things, that one of these little facts that's floating out there that's conveniently ignored, that in the Vault 7 release from WikiLeaks, they showed documents from the CIA that said that they could go around hacking people and leave breadcrumbs to make it look like the Russians did it. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happened here. It's just always worth considering when the intelligence community comes in and tells us something else about malign activities of Russia. More about that next hour. But this is the report that NBC did, and it's kind of the end of the report. While a lot of it's just frustrating, and I don't know, maybe they're doing it. I mean, to me, should vaccine research, this is about them trying to steal our vaccine. In a worldwide pandemic where we're all concerned about lives, shouldn't this just be open source stuff? Don't we want everybody getting pieces of it? I mean, shouldn't this be all everybody collaboratively sharing things and taking advancement? We don't care who gets the vaccine. We just want the vaccine, right? Now, at the very end of this, you'll understand why that's not the case.
Tonight, Russian hackers trying to steal coronavirus vaccine research from American, Canadian, and British healthcare organizations,
he doesn't even say allegedly,
according to the country's intelligence agencies. Kieran Martin, the head of Britain's National Cybersecurity Center, said they first noticed the hacking attempts in February.
No, it's not a surprise. It's deplorable, and we call it out in the strongest possible terms, and we are trying to make sure by publicizing the technical detail that people can defend against it.
Martin said there's no evidence the hackers stole any data, only that they infiltrated systems using malware and spear phishing. The hackers include APT-29, or Cozy Bear, believed to be backed by Russia and implicated in Russian hacks of the Democratic National Committee in 20...
There you go. They never proved that the Russians hacked the DNC, but they're still using that as a basis for these hackers. It's the same people that we told you that we lied to you about hacking the DNC.
2016. Russia denied the allegation, saying they have nothing to do with these attempts. Attorney General Bill Barr today also warning about the threat from Chinese hackers who the FBI says tried to steal vaccine research in May.
PRC-linked hackers have targeted American universities and firms in a bid to steal the IP related to coronavirus treatments and vaccines, sometimes disrupting the work of our researchers.
The attacks come just as British and American researchers get closer to a vaccine. Johnson & Johnson saying they expect to start human trials ahead of schedule.
Here it comes.
This game is so high stakes that even medical research for the benefit of all mankind is not considered off limits.
Think of the political benefits if you could announce we have the virus, we have the vaccine, we have the cure.
A cure so valuable it may be worth stealing. Matt Bradley, NBC News.
Ding 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 ding. It's not about saving humanity. Vaccine isn't about protecting people. It's valuable. That's right. We want to make sure that our pharmaceutical companies, the people that donate to our political class in this country, are the ones that get the patent on this thing. I mean, wouldn't you kind of think? I mean, these loving pharmaceutical companies, don't you think they'd want to share it with the world? Yeah, that's not the game when it comes to vaccines. They want to make sure that they are the ones that release it because they want the profits from this thing. And God knows, as we've been reporting here about the stock prices of these vaccine companies, they don't even have to produce anything. They've already gained so much in their stock prices. I mean, pharmaceutical executives, oh my God, they've done well. And I don't know. I haven't looked at the market today. Was there a headline this morning? They're kind of doing a round robin. They're feeding all the pharmaceutical companies. You know, I think yesterday or day before it was AstraZeneca. We've had two or three Modernas. I did my show yesterday about Moderna. Their stock has quadrupled since, I believe it's March. It had gone nowhere for about a year and a half, and then suddenly it's quadrupled. They don't have a product or anything. They do have one of their buddies, as the vaccines are right now. And he made around $2 to $3 million on the first Monday that he was in his position, for which he's only taking $1 because he's such a humanitarian. I mean, this whole thing, absolutely nuts. So once again, they've got the Russia hysteria. Then Barr comes in to do the Chinese trying to steal it. And look, these countries do this stuff. You think the American, you don't think there's anybody in the United States snooping around in every other country around here trying to get either vaccine science or whatever? You think that there's nobody in America trying to steal anything from another country? Are you kidding me? Hackers gonna hack. That's just the way it goes. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. It's Friday, so we finish up the week with a couple of little segments here. 10 o'clock, we get into this. This is False Flag Friday. Foreign policy failures. Lies and the lying liars who lie us into war. I don't know what to call this thing, because a false flag is a generated event, or an event that is exploited for political means that happened to drag us into wars. But, you know, in this day and time of COVID and the cancel culture and the woke mobs out in the streets, we're not paying a lot of attention to foreign policy these days. So I've got this little segment carved out to just let everybody know exactly what's going on outside of our borders that everybody should know about. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. I'll issue a trigger alert here. A lot of Trump supporters listen to WYAB. That's fine. I'm not thrilled with Trump's foreign policy, and that's probably a massive understatement. The idea is, well, he hadn't started any more new wars. Well, that's not what he campaigned on. He campaigned on ending the endless wars. Now, to Democrats who say, look at that, he's sticking it to Trump. You Democrats are the reason that we're probably not out of Afghanistan. It's fascinating to watch. There's a lot of awake liberals out there who notice that the Democratic Party is actually throwing up roadblocks to actually ending the Afghanistan war. There are no clean hands in Washington, D.C. when it comes to foreign policy because, I mean, ultimately they serve their war profiteer masters. Now, Donald Trump has not made much of a change in that as far as I'm concerned. So some of this is going to be critical of Donald Trump and particularly his buddy Mike Pompeo. Everybody had their own main reason for voting for Donald Trump. One of my main reasons was his promise of no more wars and ending the wars we were in. And while technically he hadn't started any new big ones, he did veto ending the Saudi Arabian war on Yemen. We don't have to be in that thing. There's absolutely no strategic advantage to the United States to be bombing the poorest country in the Middle East in Yemen. And Congress finally stood up and said, we're not going to send our kids over there to support it and are not going to spend our money to bomb Yemen. And Trump vetoed ending the war in Yemen. He also vetoed a War Powers Act that would have restrained a president from just going in and taking unilateral action against Iran, because Iran is in the crosshairs. So that does not impress me with the Trump administration that he is actually vetoing any curbing of current conflicts or the potential of new ones. Congress should weigh in on these things. As much as I hold Congress in contempt, it is better to have 535 people deciding whether or not we commit our sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, moms and dads halfway around the world to an action rather than just a handful of neocon warmonger advisors that Trump has surrounded himself with. So he's left us on the path to continuing wars. Now, a story has recently come out that I hope is not true, but I don't have a reason to doubt it, and I'll show you in just a second. The Central Intelligence Agency has conducted a series of covert cyber operations against Iran and other targets since winning a secret victory in 2018 when President Trump signed what amounts to a sweeping authorization for such activities, according to former U.S. officials with direct knowledge of the matter. Secret authorization, known as a presidential finding, gives the spy agency more freedom in both the kinds of operations it conducts and who it targets, undoing many restrictions that have been in place under prior administrations. The finding allows the CIA more easily authorize its own covert cyber operations rather than requiring the agency to get approval from the White House. Now, I fail to find this idea that Donald Trump is battling against the deep state. It seems kind of odd that somebody fighting against the deep state would at the same time be giving the deep state more money, more power, and more positions of authority within the government. So you're going to have to explain that one to me. The CIA, I've said, if you want world peace, and I would say most people, particularly true Christians out there, we'd like to see a peaceful world. You need to put a dome over Langley, Virginia, where the CIA is, because they're always up to no good. But do I need to say it? Yeah, there's some fine people working for the CIA. I'm sure there are good people there.
But the agency as itself, I'm watching right now. This is really fascinating. I'm watching it. Kill the Messenger, I believe it's called. It's on Netflix if you want to check it out. It's the story about Gary Webb where he blew the whistle on the fact that the CIA, our own CIA, was participating in running crack cocaine into the major urban areas of the United States. You remember the crack epidemic of the 1980s that blossomed into all that violence and all that misery and all these crackheads everywhere? The CIA was participating in that, if you just want to kind of know the character of what CIA is capable of doing. It's absolutely fascinating. Nobody pays attention to that. Sean Hannity will come on air and tell you, Donald Trump's in an existential fight with the deep state. We got to root out this deep state. This is what Sean Hannity will tell you while he's wearing a CIA lapel pin. It is fascinating to watch hypocrisy like that, but he gets away with it. Why do I wonder if the CIA is up to this? I don't know if you've been paying attention. There are all kinds of things happening in Iran right now. At least 7 ships have caught fire at the port of Bashar in southern Iran. No casualties have been reported so far. There have been several explosions and fires around Iranian military, nuclear, and industrial facilities since late June. So Iran has got all kinds of things going on. If you know the story of Stuxnet, which is really a fascinating story. True. I mean, I got to tell you. Supposedly, I don't know anybody's ever laid claim to Stuxnet, which took out a damaged centrifuges in an Iranian nuclear facility years and years ago. But it's been attributed to both Israeli and U.S. intelligence. I got to hand it to them. It was a genius plan and a pretty amazing thing. I think the name of a documentary on that is called Zero Day or Zero Days. I really encourage you to watch it if you're at all interested in that kind of stuff, because the way Stuxnet worked was absolutely amazing. I won't go into it now. But anyway, Trump giving more authority to the CIA is not a good thing. He also, for all of you out there who hates John Brennan, John Brennan, that Obama deep state thug. I'm right there with you. I can't stand John Brennan. And if that's the case, why did Donald Trump appoint Gina Haspel to run the CIA, who was an acolyte to, you guessed it, John Brennan? Outside of that, Trump made when he did his interview with the guy from Telemundo, where he rolled out the fact that he was going to be doing an immigration deal that would include DACA, he said something else that was not covered near enough, but it made me sick to my stomach. Listen to this.
Mr. President, you're here to talk about the region. I know that Venezuela has been on the plate here. For you, Venezuela, is it Guaido? Is it Maduro? Is it U.S. intervention?
It's freedom for their people. It's freedom. Venezuela was a rich country 15 years ago, and it's been destroyed by 2 people, but a system, a horrible system. Call it anything you want, but it's a horrible system.
Okay, so far, so good. Socialism, no good. This is a destroyed country after country where it's been tried. I'm with him on all that stuff. Good thing to point out. Hey, look, for all you nut jobs out there who want to try socialism in the United States, look at Venezuela. It's a basket case. And then he says this.
And something will happen with Venezuela. That's all I can tell you. Something will be happening with Venezuela.
Through the United States? The United States?
We'll be very much involved.
Are you still supporting?
Oh, you like that dramatic pause? We'll be very much involved. This is stunning. And to watch conservatives say, oh, that's okay. You know, I mean, we're for ending the wars and for stopping all this meddling. We got a lot of problems here in our country we need to take care of. And look at what Bush and Obama did to us, getting us involved in all these wars. And then Trump says, we're going to be very involved in something that's going on in Venezuela very soon. You'll be seeing something in Venezuela very soon. We'll be very heavily involved. And conservatives go, oh, okay.
In Guaido?
I support whoever it is that's elected. And right now, he seems to be the person that's elected.
How in the world does Donald Trump say, it seems that Juan Guaido's been elected? He's not been elected. We just named him the president of Venezuela. Okay, if you're new to this show or a kindergartner, do I like Nicolas Maduro? Of course not. He's a thug socialist abusing his own people. But Juan Guaido? So let me get this straight, Donald Trump. Well, let's let him finish real quick.
But the system is very bad over there. He seems to be losing a certain power. We want somebody that has the support of the people.
Yeah, Juan Guaido's losing power because he never had any power. The United States just declared him the president of Venezuela. Can you just imagine for just 1 minute that China just goes, hey, Nancy Pelosi runs the United States now? How would you feel about that? Would you think that's fair? You'd be okay with that? I mean, a lot of talk out there about how China is, you know, real cozy with the Democrats and everything. What if China just declared Donald Trump's not the president anymore? We don't care what the last election said. What if China just said the last election was bogus? Nancy Pelosi is the rightful president of the United States, and we will recognize her. And if she does not assume the mantle soon, we will go in and militarily overthrow that country until Nancy Pelosi is president. You'd be okay with that?
I support the person that has the support of the people. Venezuela has been treated very, very badly. I've been very strong on Venezuela. This is an area that I know very well. You understand why. I know this area very well. Little Venezuela, they call it in Florida. Little Venezuela. The greatest people there are, fantastic people. We're going to take care of the people of Venezuela.
Mr. President, thank you very much.
There you go, American taxpayer. You're going to take care of the people of Venezuela. You ready for that? And the funniest thing to me about this, if anybody doesn't understand who Juan Guaido is, I know this is a lot of stuff, but we don't pay attention to this, Mike. Did you see what the NFL said about such and such? Juan Guaido, by the way, Trump's pick. It was John Bolton's pick and Mike Pompeo's pick and Marco Rubio's pick and Lindsey Graham's pick and Tom Cotton's pick and all these warmongers. They want Juan Guaido to run Venezuela. Do you understand what Juan Guaido is? A socialist. You know what he is? He's just a socialist that will allow U.S. oil companies to get in there and get some of that oil. That's what this is all about. Do you seriously believe that this is about the health and well-being of the Venezuelan people? Because Donald Trump just loves those people so much that he's going to put a different socialist on top of them rather than the socialist that's there right now. Juan Guaido is the CIA-trained socialist as opposed to just the rogue socialist Nicolas Maduro, the former bus driver who's running the country now. This is just sick stuff. It makes me so angry to see Donald Trump trying to act all tough. We'll be very involved. Within a long dramatic pause, like it's this idea that we will be making big decisions for Venezuela very soon. And he says, we'll take care of the Venezuelan people. Well, taxpayers, get your wallets out.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
You know, the idea that Trump has not started any new foreign wars since we got cranked up, I'll tell you, the number of sanctions that have come out of the Trump White House is pretty amazing. Sanctions are an act of war. When you are seeking to strangle another country economically, that's not diplomacy. And I do fear, I don't want to see a Joe Biden presidency, but I got to tell you, if Donald Trump gets back in there, I would not be at all surprised if very soon in 2021 we are not in some kind of a shooting hostility with Iran, for sure. As long as Donald Trump is surrounded by people like Mike Pompeo, he got rid of John Bolton, thankfully, put in Bolton Light, kind of the same philosophy, but not as attention-grabbing and this Robert O'Brien guy. But as long as Mike Pompeo is there, there is no diplomacy going on around the world. Mike Pompeo is all about just raw power and bossing people around. Recently, he announced some more tough talk on Russia. As I say, I'm not sure who the neocons in the Republican and Democratic Party want us at war with more, Russia or China. But I tell you, we're being marched slowly towards a war with China. I know everybody's mad at China. I don't like China. China's a problem for the world. They are a giant, communist, brutal dictatorship. That is not a good thing. The relationship that we have and the rest of the world has with China should have changed to some degree. And Donald Trump has kind of brought that out in the open. Kudos to him. But you better be careful what you wish for and how hardcore you want to go on China. I see a lot of people excited about the fact we're going to decouple from China. China's loaned us a lot of money. I guess now we can just print it up. We don't need China anymore. It's going to destroy the value of your savings, but that's okay. We don't need China for that. We're going to move all the manufacturing back here. We'll buy from other places. If you buy from other countries other than China, that doesn't bring jobs back to the United States. It's probably an improvement, but it doesn't really change anything for us in our daily lives. If you think you're going to bring all manufacturing from overseas back to the United States, just be prepared. I'm all for manufacturing jobs. Just know you're going to spend a lot more money on stuff. So, but there's a lot of stuff with China. I'm not opposed to a little bit of brinksmanship with China, but there's so much stuff going on. It's on a daily basis right now, particularly with China's move towards Hong Kong. And we've got aircraft carriers, we've got warships in the South China Sea. I mean, there's a lot of provocation going on with China right now. All I'm saying is be careful what you wish for. Everybody likes to talk tough about China. But if we cross some kind of a line and end up in some real serious hostilities with them, you know, China could start dumping our debt like overnight. I mean, like overnight, they could just boom. They could just dump. I think it's $1.3 trillion. They've been getting rid of some of our bonds already, but they could just dump our debt. They can have a real effect on our currency, which will affect your life. They've got a lot of, what do they call it, asymmetric warfare type things they could do. And if it's not even a shooting war, if you want to get into some kind of a cyber war with China, that has a way to affect the United States too. Brinksmanship, fine. Diplomacy, fine. Changing world attitudes towards China is fine. But you have to understand, we got psychopaths running foreign policy of the United States. We have for several decades. This is Mike Pompeo. The Russians are daring to finish a pipeline so that they can provide oil to Europe. And Europe, how dare they, are willing to actually buy oil and natural gas from Russia. And for some reason, we just can't have that. Just think about this. If you were anywhere else, if you weren't an American, if you were watching this take place, this is two countries doing business with each other half a world away from us. I don't know if you've looked at a globe. Germany and Europe, pretty close to Russia. Not to the United States, to Russia. So these are other countries, sovereign countries, their own bosses, right? We don't run the world. Psychopaths in Washington, D.C. think they should, because there's a lot of money out there in power they haven't gotten their hands on yet. They just have to use our soldiers to do it. More about that in just a second. But this is Mike Pompeo, how incensed he is because Russia and Europe have decided to do a little business with each other, and we just cannot have that.
Today, the Department of State is updating the public guidance for CATS authorities to include Nord Stream 2 and the second line of Turk Stream 2.
These are the pipelines.
This action puts investments or other activities that are related to these Russian energy export pipelines at risk of U.S. sanctions.
Ooh.
It's a clear warning to companies aiding and abetting Russia's malign influence projects will not be tolerated.
Listen to that. The United States Secretary of State is saying anybody aiding and abetting Russia selling oil to other countries, we will not tolerate that. Now, you may get a big boost of testosterone off that, oh, we are so tough. And look, Mike Pompeo, I saw somebody say something like, finally, the U.S. grew a pair. Well, that's all fine and dandy if that really gets you all feeling tough. It just means the rest of the world is getting pretty sick of our stuff.
Get out now or risk the consequences.
Ooh.
Let me be clear. These aren't commercial projects. They are Kremlin's key tools to exploit and expand European dependence on Russian energy supplies. Tools that undermine Ukraine by cutting off gas transiting that critical democracy. A tool that all...
Now, it's so funny to me. Why do you think the Russians don't want to go through Ukraine anymore? Could it possibly be because the United States overthrew the government that was friendly to Russia and replaced it with one that is hostile to Russia? Why would Russia want to continue to run pipelines through a country that we changed the government to make them hostile to Russia? I mean, it is amazing that people put up with this stuff.
Ultimately undermines transatlantic security. The United States is always ready to help our European friends meet their energy needs. Today I have with me Assistant Secretary for the Bureau of Energy Resources, Frank Fannin, who will take questions here when I'm complete with respect to this action.
That is Mike Pompeo basically saying, you either give us all your energy business or we're coming after you. We will not tolerate you doing business with another country. It is stunning arrogance and hostility, and American people think it's somehow patriotic. It's Really, that maybe is a little unfair. Most people don't even know the stuff's going on. You just accept the pablum and the propaganda coming out of Washington, D.C. constantly. We're always the white-hatted guys. And look, I love this country. That's not anti-American or anything like that. It's anti-psychopaths who run American foreign policy and cause problems all over the world. When Trump was running for election in 2016, conservatives understood that. You were against the wars and against all the interventions and against all of the meddling in everybody's affairs. Suddenly now, since Trump's cabinet's, you know, Trump's administration's doing it, I guess it's okay again. One last little thing I'll get into this real quick, and I really wish I'd spent more time on this, but there was just a headline. It's just heartbreaking. Army's Captain America, who served nearly 12 combat tours, dies by suicide after moving to D.C. Master Sergeant Andrew Christian Markenasaw served 6 full tours in Afghanistan with the 82nd Airborne and the Ranger Regiment and about a half dozen more combat tours overseas. He rose to become a decorated Green Beret and Silver Star recipient. He just moved to Washington, D.C. to start a coveted job with the Pentagon. And then 2 days after the 4th of July and Monday night, after having dinner with his former battalion leader, he returned home from dinner in Old Town Alexandria and died by suicide in front of his wife. He had 3 small children and was still on active duty. And this is another one of these combat stories here of veterans. I just bring this story up because, number one, this should be recognized for the problem that it is. There are consequences to sending our kids half away or world away into combat zones. You break them mentally. Human beings are not designed for that. And it's just interesting to me that, you know, people like Mike Pompeo sits on his fat butt and orders this stuff. He's ready to threaten everybody and then send somebody else's children halfway around the world to fight and die in the sand. You know, he doesn't have to risk anything himself. He flies around in private jets and covered up in security and bulletproof glass on the SUV when he happens to visit some country that may be hostile. These kids go out there with a little bit of body armor and a helmet on and just cross their fingers and kiss the rosary as they head out to fight and die in the sand for something that gives only power and prestige to people like Pompeo. It has nothing to do with American interest. There was one really sad story in this too. Staff Sergeant Alan Thomas, he served in the same battalion as the first guy. He died by suicide in 2013, leaving behind 2 daughters and his wife, Danica. And what was so incredibly sad, just to tell you briefly what this guy's story was, he'd been suffering from PTSD after coming back. He was a 3-time combat tour infantryman with the 82nd Airborne. He came back suffering from PTSD. Apparently, he woke up one night. I'll read this here. Eyewitnesses said Alan's last words were, "I got it. I cleared the house." And this is the family recounting this. "We think at the time Alan thought he was back in Afghanistan, but in body, Alan was actually in our residential neighborhood in Fayetteville. He thought he was taking out the enemy, but instead it was 2 innocent neighbors and their dog. He went to a neighbor's house, shot the 2, I believe they were elderly occupants, and their dog, thinking he was in Afghanistan because his mind had been cracked in Afghanistan." And that's what these people do. This is what the likes of John Bolton, Gina Haspel at CIA, Mike Pompeo at Secretary of State, senators like Lindsey Graham, John McCain, and Tom Cotton, so anxious to send our kids over there for things that aren't really in America's interest, but they're so willing to expend these kids' lives. And this guy, Alan, killed himself after killing 2 neighbors thinking he was back in Afghanistan. These things have real costs. It's incredibly sad. I think it's incredibly pro-military, pro-troop to stop these psychopaths from sending them into harm's way time and time and time again. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we finish up each week with a look back at the lunacy of the last week, and it's pretty difficult to determine exactly what to put in these segments because we seem to have gone insane in so many different areas. I guess what's always a good warm-up here, I've got a Biden clip. He said something very odd the other day. I assume this is a gaffe, or he could be serious. I don't, you know, Biden is rolling out some of his policies. I don't know exactly what this one is, where it fits in, but he has plans for our children, apparently.
To get our people to work and our kids to school safely, to get our kids to market swiftly, to power a clean energy revolution in this country, we need to modernize America's infrastructure.
Did you catch that exactly? Something about he's going to get our kids to market?
To get our people to work and our kids to school safely, to get our kids to market swiftly, to power clean.
That sounds like it was written in there. What does it mean to get our kids to market swiftly? Are we selling our children? Are some of these rumors about some of these freak Democrats actually true? Biden is also running an ad in Texas. To be honest with you, it's been a couple of days since I listened to this one. I can't remember what it was about this that stood out to me.
Joe Biden is launching a set of new television and digital ads in Texas, Arizona, as well as Florida and North Carolina. So here's a look at the one that's going to run in Texas.
I'm thinking of all of you today across Texas. I know the rise in case numbers is causing fear and apprehension.
You know, I got to stop this and just tell you, I'm so far away from somebody that political advertising works on. You know what I mean? This background music, the slow piano, the dramatic tone of voice, the inflection, just the whole thing just seems so fake and phony that I imagine it must work. I mean, they test these things. So are there Americans out there? Because this is my whole thing about even campaigns in general. Even the idea of why would you send money to Donald Trump to run an ad? Even if you loved him, even if you wanted him to win. Does Donald Trump, do ads work on people? Do people not understand after 4 years of wall-to-wall coverage about Donald Trump? Do people not understand who he is or what he's about? And you can say, well, the media twists him and makes him look off. Well, yeah, I mean, that's true, but he gets a lot of his actual words out there. But it's just funny to me, these produced ads with the background music to get you in some kind of a mood. I mean, any of these things, it's just stunning to me to think that there are Americans that are sitting there watching their television and they see this ad and they go, oh, wow, yeah, I'm for that guy. I guess it happens. I just can't even imagine it in my life.
People are frightened, and they're especially worried about their parents, their grandparents, their loved ones who are most at risk.
We're all going to die.
This virus is tough, but Texas is tougher. We can stop the spread, and it's up to all of us to do it. We have to step up and do both the simple things and the hard things to keep our families and our neighbors safe. Wear a mask, wash your hands, stay home if you can, and socially distance when you go out. I want every single American to know, if you're sick, if you're struggling, if you're worried about how you're going to get through the day, I will not abandon you. We're all in this together. We'll fight this together. And together, we'll emerge from this stronger than we were before we began. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
I mean, I don't know. There's not anything particularly funny about that. I'm just having such a hard time imagining somebody on either side. I mean, it doesn't even matter what candidate, anywhere, that you, particularly incumbents. I mean, Joe Biden's been around for 40-something years. What, you need an ad to, oh, now I think I really like him. Let's see. I've got another one in. Where's this? There's another clip. I've got another one in here. This was just a kind of interesting. It's interesting / disgusting. I hate to play her voice, but she was out there, and Hillary Clinton had something to say about this pandemic and who should be handling it. Kind of makes you wonder, is she going to swoop in at the last minute?
And I'll just end with a little global aside, which is the research that's being done about how much better countries run by women have done during the COVID pandemic, from New Zealand to Taiwan to Germany to Finland, et cetera. And, you know, maybe it's not a very big sample, but the kind of inclusive leadership that actually followed the evidence and listened to science has proven to be quite effective.
She's so clever. She may be waiting in the wings. Maybe this is the beginning of her campaign. Hey, women handle the pandemic better. It's good to know we're not completely, you know, the only ones that have gone nuts about this thing around the world. Australian state bans dancing, mingling, and singing. This is also, I think I reported last week in the look back at the lunacy of the last week that, you know, churches in California had banned singing in church and the theme parks had banned screaming on roller coasters and their rides. So it's good to know this hysteria. And this is why I say this is not all just a plot to get Trump. This is a bigger operation than that. It's to actually turn everybody on the planet insane. In the Netherlands, couples must show a love contract at Dutch border before reuniting. You have to actually sign something attesting that your relationship has lasted more than 3 months and that you're actually in love. And you can't lie on the thing. If you lie on it, you can be subjected to perjury. And if you don't have the form, you can actually be quarantined, I think, against your will. So we are not the only ones to lose our mind. Now, a lot has been made about COVID tracking and tracing and how big tech can help us do these things. Australia rolled out an app for tracking and tracing. Let's check in with our friends down under and see how well that app has done to control the spread of COVID down in Aussie land.
How many COVID cases have been identified through the app?
How many COVID cases have been identified through the app?
Yeah.
The app doesn't actually identify COVID cases.
No, well, obviously, it identifies contacts. Through there where people visit the doctor, get tested, how many people have cases have been identified initially through contacting these people through the app?
Well, I'll just repeat what I said before. The app doesn't actually identify or diagnose the case. So I think what you're saying is that how many actual contacts have been identified by the app that haven't been identified by the contact tracers?
And then tested positive. So,
just give us
the number. Well, you can't test. I had to argue with you, but you can't test positive unless you've already been a contact. So I think the question is, how many have we actually identified on the app as unique contacts?
Yes.
So there was one case in Victoria that was identified during contact tracing that then on further inquiry by the disease detectives was proved not to be a significant contact. So that's the one case that has been identified by the app.
One. Oh, those tech giants, they're really going to keep us safe, aren't they? One. You notice how long it took him to get to the point? He had to belabor the point trying to put it off. He did not want to get to the statistic of just one. Here we go in hysteria. This is what sounds like the American people, probably people around the world, but this is what we have come to here. I love some of the memes. I saw something, you know, it showed some of our soldiers heading into Normandy on D-Day, and I can't remember what the statistic was, but, you know, it was a brutal battle. I mean, you want to talk about something that was just absolutely terrifying and your chance of dying was huge. Yet these young men stood up to that and invaded the beaches at Normandy. And then it shows next to now Americans hide in their home for something that they know they've got a 99.8% chance of surviving. That's where we've come. As far as air travel, I think everybody's waiting on the vaccine.
I have four children. Youngest one is 10 months old. You know, the biggest concern is flying with kids. I don't want them to get sick. And with like a 10-month-old, she's gonna want to crawl, right? And she's at that age where she'll put everything in her mouth, right? And she's always touching things. And then the other concern is, you know, right now it's hard to trust other people. I think.
Aha.
You have the crowds.
That's right. You got to view everybody else as a potential threat to your life. Look at everybody very suspiciously. I have another thing about masks. And I don't know if this is part of the psychological operation being pulled on us right now, but you know, you can never see anybody smile when they've got a mask. I think we are missing human smile. I'm a big smiler. If you see me in the grocery store, if you ever make eye contact with me in public, I'm going to give you a smile. Maybe even a, hey, how are you? Something along those lines. Definitely going to give you a smile. The smiles are gone. But this is part of the operation. Everybody around you is a potential threat to your life. This is going to create a very paranoid American populace.
Airports going through security. So you're just exposing yourself. And more than that, you have people with this virus that may not show symptoms until, you know, you're on the plane, and then it's too late. Especially if you're going overseas, you can't go anywhere. You're stuck. I'll wait. I'll wait as long as I have to. Even when a vaccine comes available, I'm not going to be the first one to run out and get it. I'd like to make sure that it's going to be effective and it works.
I mean, if it lasts a year, maybe 2 years, that's just what we have to do. I mean, you know, I obviously want the kids to get out. I want my wife to go do the things that they want to do. I want to go do things that I want to do. But at this time, it's just what it is. I mean, so we just kind of have to put up with it and make the best out of our time.
We just have to put up with it and stay home and hide, which is, this is all fantastic news for me. This was talking about people getting on airplanes because I am really trying to get out to Hawaii. And if I play my timing just right, if a bunch of people are too scared to fly, I may actually be able to use my free passes for my dad's tenure at Delta and end up going first class free to Hawaii. Of course, Hawaii's got to regain their senses, too, and start letting us in. Lastly, on that stuff, with face masks now mandatory on many North American flights, a Toronto-based technology startup has designed a custom hazmat suit to be worn on planes in public areas. VYZR Technologies specialize in developing and building protective equipment, including the new BioVisor, a stylish, I would argue that point if you've seen this thing. A stylish bio suit fitted with a powered air purifying N95 respirator and anti-fogging windows. The suit resembles a plastic bubble worn by Jake Gyllenhaal in the 2001 movie Bubble Boy. It was just a matter of time. You kind of have to see this thing. It's a bit of a visual, but I got to tell you, if I start seeing people walk around in these things with a disease that has got a 99.8% survival rate, I will have lost the rest of my faith in humanity. I'll be right back. All night!
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Only a few minutes left in the show for today here on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Want to remind everybody it's weekend time. That's pizza time in the Mike Madison home. We recommend you head out to Your Pie out in Gluckstadt. You've got to check these people out if you have not gone. If you've already gone, you're going again, so I may see you out there this weekend. But if you haven't gone yet, you really need to try Your Pie. This is a locally owned, veteran-owned business out in Gluckstadt at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Fantastic food, 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas, pastas, paninis, gelato. They've got beer and wine out there, too, if you want to make a nice, relaxing night of it. TVs, sports are starting to come back a little bit, so you've got some things to watch out there. But it's really a great place. If you can't get out to their location, they're right there by Germantown High School. If you can't get out there, you can have their food delivered. Just download the Waiter app and look for Your Pie and order their stuff to be brought straight to you. They also have an app, the Your Pie app. If you get that thing, I think just about every day they run some kind of a special, and sometimes it's for several days where you get all kinds of goodies and discounts and points and all those things that apps are good for. So download the Your Pie app and make them a regular part of your dining out experience. Again, that's 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out in Gluckstadt, locally owned, veteran owned, and one of the casualties of the insanity of the last 4 months trying to work their way back into profitability. So please go out there and support them. I don't know where this story falls in our new society of trying to keep everybody safe from everything all the time and not accepting any risk. And I got to tell you, this is a terrifying story and something needs to be done. A shark grabbed a 10-year-old boy from a fishing boat off Australia on Friday but swam off after his father jumped in to save him, officials said. To my children, as an aside, I love you more than life itself. The shark I think I would jump in. I think it's instinctual. The love of a father for his children is enough. I would be tested with a shark. This is like one of my biggest fears. Sharks freak me out, man. Anyway, this father jumped in. The boy was taken to hospital in stable condition with cuts to his arm, chest, and head after the attack off the coast of the island. Local government said the child was wearing a life vest as he accompanied his father and two other men fishing 5 kilometers from shore when the shark grabbed him from the boat. Now, I got to tell you, see, the thing is, we have to look at in today's time, how many 10-year-old children were out fishing on that day on the ocean and then think one of them was snatched? If there were only 10 10-year-olds off the coast of Australia fishing that day, that means 10% of children that day were snatched off a boat by a shark. I can't have any more fishing. Nothing we can do about the sharks that I know of, but we're going to immediately have to outlaw fishing. Anyway, an absolutely terrifying story. Running out of time today, the cancel cult was extremely active this past week. Well, I mean, they have been for quite some period of time. A university police chief, where was this? West Virginia University was on some kind of a Zoom call or something, and people noticed he had a thin blue Lives Matter or a thin blue lives flag in the back. He'd had it in his office for forever, well predating Black Lives Matter recent uproar, but it signified to him the thin blue line of the police between the criminals and the citizens. But it's been called for his resignation. He had to go and publicly apologize for this, but the thin blue line flag was just too much for some of the social justice warriors. They called for his resignation. Barry Weiss is a moderate to liberal commentator, opinion person for the New York Times. She left and left a scathing letter about the cancel culture at the New York Times as it has been taken over by social justice warriors. So she's been run out, and she talks about the harassment that she suffered at the New York Times. Museum curator, San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, the art director there dared to say that he would continue to have art also from white men. They have called for his resignation as well. And then one of the most insane ones, there's a guy who's got a Twitter handle, Rich Rebuilds, and a video and a YouTube channel where he's been a big Tesla fan. He put out a video saying he was going back from a Tesla to a gas-powered car. The social justice mob came after him, within a couple of hours, they had his video removed, and he talks about it in a tweet where he basically says, the Tesla fanboys formed like Voltron and ganged up to flag my video. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when you anger the hive. He dared to go against Tesla. That's right, left. It's coming for you, too. That's all the time I got. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.